Hour number two kicking off here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Oh, you could feel it in the air. We're not that far away from spring. Looking to do a little traveling this summer. Bob's got just the place for you, Bob.
Yeah, you know, I thought about this yesterday. God, it was warm and nice out yesterday. Felt great. And we're getting to that time of year. If you're going to be out traveling, if you're inclined to do a little bit of camping or RVing, we have the place for you. Again, nestled in one of the most picturesque, beautiful parts of the country. It's right here in our backyard, out in Sevierville. Two Rivers Landing RV Resort. I think I mentioned before, too, a little bit of it's not just you're roughing it out there. It's these nice, picturesque, scenic areas right there on the French Broad River. And then they have amenities that are available to anybody who's, you know, setting up shop with their RV or with their camper. They have a secure pool that is right there on the banks of the French Broad. Pretty unique feature. And also, cleanliness of the place is amazing. They have a, you know, an area that's, you know, closed off, but it has showers, laundry area. If you want to, you know, if you're on the road and you want to just do a little bit of laundry, all that stuff's available right there. Not to mention power and water hookups right there at each slot where you'd be putting your RV. To learn more, go to tworiversrvresort.com. But at this time of year, it just seems like a really cool, low-cost option. Even if you're thinking about a staycation, kind of a cool place to check out. Two Rivers Landing.
Sam, let's hit some stories we missed from yesterday. What do you got for us?
Thanks. Not a whole lot. big college football transfer news as 2023 four-star quarterback Jaden Rashada is on the move again, leaving Arizona State. The saga continues with him. Obviously, an interesting recruiting cycle. Originally was committed to Miami and then decided to go sign with Florida. Some things happened there in terms of NIL stuff. And
they lied to him, basically.
Yeah, they basically lied to him with his offer. He goes to Arizona State, doesn't really play much at all this season, enters the transfer portal, and Pete Nakos of On3 yesterday comes out and says that Georgia is the school to watch out for him once he enters the portal.
Yeah, so from what I see, he played in three games last year, one at the very beginning of the year, the next game. So he played the first two games of the year against, I guess, whoever the hell SUU is.
Southern Utah.
Yeah, Southern Utah University. And then he played against Oklahoma State, and then he didn't play again until the end of the season against Arizona. Four touchdowns, three interceptions. You know, so not a good promising prospect in terms of like actual on the field stuff. But he was like a top 100 quarterback. So maybe Georgia, you know, if he goes there, they think, hey, you can sit a year, learn in the system, and we'll put some good pieces around you. And then you could compete for the quarterback job. This doesn't feel like something that he's leaving for money as much as, like, he probably lost the job at Arizona State or, like, doesn't have a huge future there. And he's like, hey, if I'm going to be good, I need to get some good players around me and good coaching, so I'm going to go to Georgia. It's what it feels like to me if I'm connecting the dots. If you're Georgia, you're buying low on a prospect and maybe not having to pay him much money, which is still funny to say whenever you're talking about college athletics. But, like, I'm sure he's getting something. But, like, yeah, like, come here, get back in the South, get in the SEC, stick it to Florida a little bit, and you know, learn and play with good athletes.
He's got some flow, kind of like Kobe White hair.
He does have nice hair. He does have nice hair. I can't imagine. I've always heard good things about Arizona State's campus and just the party life and the women out there. So, you know, I can't imagine leaving to go sit on the bench at Georgia, but I guess you got to think about your future.
Yeah, I got a few friends who were ASU grads. It's a huge party school. Huge.
Yeah.
Academics are not necessarily front and center there. Although the Cronkite School is really, really good for media. It's like one of the best in the country.
Speaking of Arizona, yesterday, the NHL Board of Governors formally approved the process for the Coyotes to sell and relocate to Salt Lake City. I know we talked about that a little bit yesterday, but that becomes official. New owner Ryan Smith came out yesterday and said that they got 11,000 season ticket deposits in the first 5 hours of opening it up. So it seems like there is some buzz out there in Salt Lake City for a hockey team. You know, and some things have kind of come out with the TNT crew. I know Paul Bissonnette was on there after the last Coyotes game and kind of gave his thoughts on the whole situation, given that he's a guy that kind of rose the ranks in hockey through the Coyotes, played with them, and then kind of got his start in media and was just talking about how, you know, he's hoping that these new owners do right by this team and that there's a lot of potential for hockey in the desert, but not returning, you know, right now, going to Utah, but he expects a team to kind of be back there in the future.
I think it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool, and of course the community is going to rally around the new team and go and create that atmosphere and do their best to support them and I guess maybe draw some attention. I don't know if they're looking at it as a audition to, you know, add more teams. Like, hey, we want a baseball team too. Look at what we did for hockey. We'll do it for baseball too. You know, I don't know what the reasoning is, but they got to be fired up to get another team there.
It's interesting. So they've had both their pro franchises now, you know, with the assumption that hockey's there now. They're both like relocation situations, right? The Jazz came from New Orleans way back when. That's how they've kept that name, which I've never fully understood. But I just find that interesting, and I'm going to be interested to see what they – no surprise, they clarified yesterday it's not going to be – Salt Lake City, it'll be Utah. That'll be the team name, but now they're going to be taking votes on, you know, or suggestions on what the team name will be. Fans came out and supported right off the bat, though, man. That's pretty impressive. And I don't get the whole notion of Arizona immediately spinning into, well, we'll file for an expansion team. It's like, I got to believe the league looks at that and says, hey, man, this didn't work entirely.
Yeah, but I kind of think it's smart to try to go ahead and do it now and just blame ownership. Like, hey, the owner didn't want to be here.
Yeah.
The owner took his ball and went home, but, like, we're a professional town, and the fans will probably – you know, you could probably spin it and say the fans will be so happy to have a new owner that they'll actually support the new team more to kind of prove a point. Because I imagine, like, if a new baseball team went to Oakland with new ownership – like the A's fans that have been begging, you know, for better ownership and for like a commitment from a team to stay would probably get some undying support. Like, thank you. Thank you. Like, even, we know, like, Seattle with the NBA, they waited too long. They should have been trying to get a team immediately. Like, I don't know exactly, you know, if they were like, ah, it's fine, we'll just tuck our tail, and, you know, if they weren't necessarily trying. But, like, if the NBA, when it does go back to Seattle, they'll probably, you know, have a fan base there, you know, ready to have it back. So, like, I get Arizona saying, hey, let's keep it now. It's not that we don't like hockey. It's just that we hated this owner, and this owner didn't want to be here.
Yeah, and it is a good market, obviously. It's a big, big town. They've got professional sports and every other major sport. So, yeah, if they can attribute it to that, that's it'll be interesting. I think they really will need some sort of approach to – proving to the league too that the fans will come back out and support it, but I think they could.
I think they were saying that moving the team into like the Glendale area is what was going to kill everything, and that like most of their fan base was in that Scottsdale and Phoenix area kind of, and they just totally misread their market basically. A little bit of college basketball scheduling news. Duke and Kansas are finalizing an agreement to play a neutral site game in Las Vegas in November. These are, you know, starting to become very popular as everyone's making sure that they, you know, get battle tested kind of in those early months of the year. But that comes from John Rothstein. Obviously, you know, we haven't touched on it yet, but Kansas is loading up in the transfer portal. Duke, obviously, a little bit of a mass exodus in the transfer portal, given the fact that they've got, I think, six freshmen coming into their class this year, along with Cooper Flagg, obviously. But
And where are they going to play at?
That one's going to be in Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're part of that November doubleheader, too. So that means it's pretty clear they won't play each other in that. They'll pair off Michigan State and Kentucky to go against those two.
I kind of wish they would just make them play twice. I think it would be actually cooler to get a regular season rematch non-conference-wise. Like, you never see that, obviously. But, like, yeah. I'd like to see some home-and-homes during the actual season. What stops teams from doing that? Is there a rule? Like what's stopping us from last year playing North Carolina at Chapel Hill, but then also, like, getting a rematch in Knoxville in the same year? Like, that'd be kind of cool, I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
You'd get two big RPI games. If both teams get a win, then, like, you know, you're actually both just, like, kind of propping each other up. I understand, like, hey, you know, we get it next year and you can sell it next year. And, you know, but, like, I think it's cool to do it in the same year. I want somebody to please blaze that trail. Let's see it happen.
Yeah, I wonder, from a fan perspective, that sounds awesome. I just wonder, from a coaching perspective, how they feel about doing something like that.
You would think you could easily spin it and say, like, it's preparation for conference play, because you play the same team twice every now and then in conference. So, like, we're learning how to game plan after making some tweaks to our, you know, original game plan. Yeah. We're learning how to get somebody on the second time. You would think you could easily spin that. I don't know. I kind of wish they'd do it. So, like, it sounds like neither Kansas nor Duke are going to do any preseason actual tournaments. Like, go like Tennessee did to Hawaii, which maybe ended up costing you the North Carolina game if you believe in fatigue and jet lag. So, we'll play these premier matchups, but we're doing them in the states, like in the continental states, without, you know, going to one of these preseason tournaments in the Bahamas or, you know, which I guess in the Bahamas, maybe the flight to the Bahamas is actually just the same distance as Vegas, but especially compared to, like, Hawaii.
Yeah, this is saying, I don't think they're in a, you know, in a preseason tournament or anything like that, but Duke's got Kansas, Kentucky now, and they play at Arizona in their non-conference too, so I guess that's a bit of a home-and-home there that they, you know, they played this year, I believe, at Duke.
Non-conference home-and-homes. Let's do it. Same year. Somebody figure it out.
Memphis and Mississippi State are doing a home and home as well. That one will start in Memphis next year, and then we'll be going to Starkville for 25-26. But I'm down for that, John. Give me some home and homes in the same year.
You know,
why not?
Just thinking about how cool it would be.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, think about, like, what's going to happen in the Big Ten and the ACC with conference play now. You know, I mean, because what I was thinking about, it's like, okay, I can buy that home and home non-conference if the geographic proximity is not too crazy. But my God, look at what's going to happen in some of these other conferences where, you know, USC's got to maybe play a home and home with Maryland in basketball. I mean, that's just craziness. Maybe they're trying to avoid that. They should.
Anything else, Sam?
Not a whole lot. I mean, I guess my one would be some college basketball coaching hire news, but I think we got a whole segment for college basketball, so I'll hold off on that. Bob Baffert out of the Kentucky Derby for another year.
Is he outlawed? Is he banned?
Yeah, he got banned for a couple of years because that winning horse, I think, in 2021 took some PEDs on race day, and they've banned him for a couple of years now. He was scheduled to come back last year, but then the Kentucky Derby officials are like, no, you broke rules. We don't want you back.
Bob, do you feel any type of, like, connection to him? Do you guys feel like you're kindred spirits, you know, both being named Bob B? You know, just, do you?
No.
He's successful. You're successful.
I've always thought he's kind of a cool character.
You're a cool character. He's a cool character.
Yeah. I mean,
you should dress up like him one day.
Wear the shades all the time. Yeah. Wear them in here during the show. Yeah, that'd be good. No.
You don't feel connected to him at all?
Not so much. I am a little intrigued by him, but not because of the name or anything else. It's just, again, just kind of his vibe and how he carries himself.
He's a winner.
You were talking about how, like, it's the biggest flex to own a sports team. I agree. Would you, like, own a horse? Because I think that's another huge flex.
Yeah, owning a horse just means you're really wealthy, too.
Really,
I mean, a sports team, you're wealthier. But a horse farm is more attainable, I guess, to the average person. Like, you can own a horse farm and be like, you know, $20 million. You can't own a sports team and be like $20 million.
Yeah.
He's worth a lot more than 20, probably.
Well, expensive, but not everyone who owns a Kentucky Derby horse is a billionaire. But everyone who owns a sports team these days is close to a billionaire. So, like, it's more attainable.
I have he's a friend, but he's actually more of a mentor. He's older than me that owned a horse farm once he retired up in up near Lexington, and we went up there for a weekend, and God, it was so cool. Yeah. But it's a hard business, because he was, you know, he had a couple horses, but he was also looking at, you know, breeding and all this other stuff. He got out of it. He's now down, you know, near Atlanta where his kids and grandkids are. And but he did it for a while, and it was like, you know, I mean, he had the stables and everything. It was amazing. It was amazing. It was so cool. I was sitting there thinking, man, this is what I would love to do if I could afford it.
It sounds really stressful.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
You got to get your horse to be the fastest in the world. Like, how? I guess just strategic breeding, but also, like, you pump them with little steroids, I guess. You cheat a little bit if you're Bob. That's what you do.
There was some YouTube series about the last – it was following, like, all the offspring of the last Triple Crown winner.
Oh, really?
How much?
Where's that at? Is that on Netflix? We need a Netflix type of.
It's just on YouTube, actually.
It deserves a bigger platform.
Yeah, honestly. I thought it was super interesting. They, like, follow all of these horses all around the world getting sold for, like, you know, anywhere from, like, $1 million to, like, $5 million just because they're coming from this horse.
Were they winners?
Yeah. They follow them, you know, kind of in their upbringing into racing, and that, you know, it shows that some of them fail and some of them hit it big, and, like, you know, sometimes you drop $1 million on these horses and doesn't work out for you at all, and sometimes you hit it big.
Those interviews with the horses have to be fascinating.
Yeah. They lived a life in there, though.
Oh, goodness. Yeah,
they're treated better than humans.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we'll hop on with Grant Ramey. We'll talk some Rick Barnes, transfer portal, Tennessee basketball. Stick with us.
Planning for
back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Let's get Grant Ramey on the line. VolQuest.com, On3 Sports. Grant, top of the morning to you. Thanks for making time for us.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Doing good. Hope you're well. Yesterday, Rick Barnes addressed the media for the first time since the whole transfer portal saga began. Let's just what was your biggest takeaway? He seemed a little sad to me.
I don't really blame him. I think he's kind of it's exhausting for me just to follow it from the outside looking in. I can't imagine being a coach in his position trying to fill all these scholarship spots, especially a guy that's been in this thing for 37 years, I guess, now as a Division I head coach, and how much has changed the last 5 years. So, there was a little kind of some prickly moments when he's talking about Jonas Adu in that situation, and there's, you know, some other moments where it just kind of felt like he was tired of getting asked about the transfer portal and all the, you know, the different spots they have to fill and stuff like that. And honestly, I can't blame him at this point.
I'm not going to ask for updates because I think it's so fluid and I think these players are changing their minds and there's no real way for you to know about it. But if you had to give a ballpark, when do you think the Tennessee roster is actually finally set?
I think it's going to be a minute. I don't think they're in a huge rush. I think they're willing to wait, especially at the combo guard position. They need to add somebody in the backcourt, but I think they're willing to be patient and see who all enters the portal. It feels like they're a little bit more in a hurry to address the front court. They had Cade Tyson on campus. They've already got Darlin Stone-Dubar committed and signed. He signed yesterday. So that was a good start in the right direction. They had Igor Milicic, the 6'10 Charlotte forward, on campus Tuesday and Wednesday for his official visit. He's at Baylor right now, finishing the visit there. And it's Baylor, Nebraska, and Tennessee, so it feels like between Cade Tyson or Igor Milicic, I think the Vols feel good about getting one of those two. We'll see what happens there. I know Cade Tyson's a Charlotte kid, and he's visiting North Carolina this weekend, so that's obviously going to be a tough one to win when UNC's going after a North Carolina kid. But it feels like they're more in a hurry to address the front court and willing to be maybe a little bit more patient with the combo guard and who they get in the back.
Hey, Grant, good morning, and thanks for joining us. A question that I have for you, we were talking about this a little bit in a previous segment, and that is, you know, I was reading through, and then I even watched the interview or the press conference, I should say, that Coach did yesterday. And, you know, he made some comments, talked about where he was kind of praising, and I wouldn't say praising, but maybe tolerating the system as we know it today, and said there's some positives, you get to build a team, et cetera. But you're close to this program. You spend a lot of time there with them. And I guess our question is for someone like Coach, who's been around for as long as he has, like you said, 37 seasons, how sustainable is this for him in your mind? And not necessarily, again, can he keep up, but will he really want to keep up? Because this is, for better or worse, this is what it's going to look like, it seems like, for the foreseeable future each year.
Yeah, when people talked about Rick in the past and you know, how much longer is he going to do this, and, you know, when would retirement be a legit possibility for him, I always thought he would be extremely miserable in retirement because he's so focused on his basketball program, and that's all that he wants to talk about and deal with is his basketball program. He wants to find a way to win games and build a competitive roster. But now, as much as the game has changed in the last just 2 to 3 years, really, with the transfer portal, with the unlimited number of transfers for college athletes, it's made me wonder kind of how much longer he would want to do this, because it's so taxing every April, trying to figure out who you got coming back, trying to get, you know, NIL stuff figured out with every player, and trying to meet demands and needs and all that stuff, and trying to figure out who's in, who's out, why they're leaving, why they might be staying, you know, all that stuff. Now, I do think this offseason in particular is a little bit unique because you lost three fifth-year seniors, so that opens up three spots. And then you had a couple guys in the backcourt, DJ Jefferson, Freddie DeLeon, that as you watch the season play out, you kind of figured these guys would probably be hitting the portal after the end of the year just because they weren't in the rotation, they weren't being a factor. So since he doesn't want to be this program that's going to have five slots to fill every offseason, they're going to jump in the portal and grab as many guys as they can. They don't want to be a portal-heavy program, I guess. They want to get young guys, talented guys in here and develop them and keep them here for multiple seasons and kind of grow that way. And I think you're going to see that with J.P. Estrella. I think you're going to see that with Cam Carr moving forward. But how much longer he does it, this is the first offseason where I've wondered legitimately, like, how much longer is he going to do this, because it's such a different world now than the one that he's coached in for the last three decades, almost four decades, and how much it's changing just kind of almost week to week, day to day in the college game, and when they're kind of trying to figure out what that looks like and how much longer he wants to do it. I do think one thing with this team in particular, next season team, Zakai Ziegler, I think is a big deal for Rick. He loves Zakai. He's loved Zakai since the day he got him on campus. And I think one of the reasons that, you know, Rick's willing to put up with five open scholarship spots or six or whatever the number is at this point is because Zakai's still here. And Jemai Meshach's still here. And they've got some guys that they've built around the last three, four years. And I think that's a big deal to Rick.
You talk about the frustrations of the transfer portal and you know, having to put your roster together every April and deal with the recruiting and contract negotiations and all that. But the crazy thing to me, Grant, is that I think Rick Barnes is as good right now as he's ever been before. So, you know, he's navigating it properly. He's navigating it in a good way now. That could all come crashing down this season if you have some swings and misses. Just ask, you know, Arkansas basketball. But of course, two big names that have entered the transfer portal that are either leaving or flirting with leaving are your two big men, Jonas Adu, Tobe Awaka. How big of a loss do we actually think these guys would be? Like, Jonas is gone, Awaka, you know, on the fence. Can Tennessee afford to lose those guys? Do you think that it would completely tank the team? Is there somebody in the transfer portal that could maybe be and you combine that with J.P. Estrella, that could give you similar production? How dire are these straits in the post for Tennessee right now?
I mean, it's not ideal. I think there would be a lot more panic or a lot more like, what are they going to do here if J.P. Estrella had not shown what he had shown against Purdue in the Elite Eight and the way he kind of rose to the occasion in that game and played, not arguably, his best minutes of the season. His C season high in minutes and all that stuff, and battling Zach Edey the way he did. I was extremely impressed, and I think the future is extremely bright for him based on what we've seen in a limited sample size. But at the same time, I'm a big fan of Jonas Adu. I think he has first-team All-SEC potential if he stuck around. I think he could have been one of the best centers in the league. I think he can still be that wherever he ends up. And Tobey Walker, you know, he's a big deal too because you saw what he gave you in March and the way he can score the ball, the way he can rebound it. Obviously, fouls are going to be an issue, and he's got to get that straightened out, whether that's at Tennessee or wherever he heads next. And I don't know if that's been decided or not, but, you know, just kind of from my own speculation and me trying to figure that situation out, if he was staying, it feels like he would have announced it by now. It would have been a thing like, all right, I'm coming back, that's it. The longer this thing drags out, the more it feels like, is this going to happen, or is this just going to stay in the portal and leave? So what you saw from JP against Purdue makes me feel better about the fact that you can kind of build around him in the post as much as you could, as much as you want Jonas back, or you would have wanted Jonas back, or you might want Tobey back. At least JP gives you something that's young that you can build around that can kind of be kind of the next kind of phase of this basketball program in this roster.
We're talking with Grant Ramey on three. VolQuest.com. Grant, do you have any insight on what Tobey is looking for in the transfer portal? Because, you know, at times it's thought, okay, maybe he wants to go back closer to be home, you know, closer to home. Okay, maybe he wants starting minutes. Okay, maybe it's money. We haven't gotten anything concrete there. Do you have any insight into what he's looking for?
I don't think money was ever an issue. I don't think money was an issue with Jonas Adu, to be honest. I thought Jonas had his money deal figured out before the season even ended. My initial thought with Tobey was maybe get closer to home, but this whole thing is somehow a miscommunication between these two guys, because Tobey entered the portal, I think it was last Wednesday, and then Jonas Thursday, whatever it was, they were a day apart. And Tobey, it's my understanding, he never would have entered the portal had he known Jonas was about to enter the portal, because I do think he wants more minutes, starter minutes. I don't know if he's ready for that until he can get his fouls under control and play with a little bit more discipline on the floor. But the fact is, it played out the way it did. And you know, Rick's open to Tobey returning. I think they've had conversations. But again, it feels like if that was going to happen, it feels like it would have happened by now. That's just kind of me trying to figure it out I'm not privy to all that information, but I do think he wanted more minutes. And for whatever reason, there was no communication there between Jonas and Tobey and how that whole thing was going to work out. It is where it is right now. They're stuck in the portal.
The minutes thing to me is so funny. It's like, bro, you can play more minutes if you quit fouling. Kind of similar right. With Jonas's, like, you know, the rumors out there that he wants to shoot from the outside more. Bro, shoot the ball. Like, you're the one that got scared and got intimidated after you missed a couple shots. If I'm Rick Barnes and I'm the coaching staff, I'm like, yeah, you could do all these things. But quit fouling. Shoot the shots. Like, it has to be super frustrating.
Yeah, and with Jonas, that was a very, I don't know, a strange case of all through the season. You could tell what you're getting from Jonas based on the first possession.
Yep.
And Tennessee was usually going to dump the ball down there and try to do something like the first possession against Texas in the second round of the NCAA tournament. They dump it down there, and Jonas is fumbling the ball around. He misses around the rim. And when that happens, it's like, all right, it's going to be a bad Jonas game. It feels like, if he missed his first shot, he's going to miss his first five shots. And if he made his first shot, he's going to make his first five shots. He's going to be great. And I think he can be that somewhere. And the same thing with Tobey. His offense, he's got more offense than people give him credit for. He's got better touch. He's got good footwork. But it's the fouling. And he's going to have to figure that out, whether that's at Tennessee or wherever. Just like Jonas is going to have to figure it out wherever he ends up, how to play more consistently and produce at the levels that he's shown that he can produce at. And I think that's another thing with the transfer portal and the kind of free agency that we have here every April is, I think some guys are going to figure out that the grass is not always greener and there's not always a better opportunity out there than maybe the one that you have or the one that you had. So we'll see where those guys land. If Tobey's back to Tennessee or somewhere else or wherever Jonas ends up, what he can do. But yeah, for both of those guys, I think it's going to be a pretty big learning experience going through this process.
Yeah, that quote about the grass not always being greener felt like he might as well have just said, just ask Olivier Comois if he had fun at Michigan this offseason, or this season is almost what it felt like. Last question about Awaka. I saw with Jonas, you know, a list of teams that came out about who he was visiting, who he was interested in. Has there been anything with Awaka with other schools yet? Because I haven't seen anything.
I haven't seen any schools named. I do think he's done some Zoom calls and stuff. To my knowledge, he doesn't have any visits lined up where he's actually going to visit other campuses. That could change. It's like an hour by hour thing. You never know really until you hear something that's actually happening. But I do think he is going somewhat through the process, even though it's not the more traditional getting on campuses and doing visits. I do think there are Zoom visits happening. I don't know who those teams are. That's another thing that it's just a strange situation to try to figure out. Like, are you coming? Are you going? Like, who are you? If you're leaving, who are you visiting with, or who are you talking to? It's been a very kind of strange, different situation, kind of from the start.
Let's talk for a second about two of the players we know are staying, and you touched on Zakai a little bit earlier. We know it's kind of his team moving forward from a leadership perspective, but also Jamai. And you know, it's so funny. It was just a week ago there was a lot of scuttlebutt out there that maybe Jamai was looking to leave, but it's never been more clear that he's all in with this program. And I guess my question to you is, based on some of the availability and conversations those two had yesterday, I told these guys here on the show that I felt better about things after hearing from those guys, because what they're saying is, look, we're the stewards of the culture and the team, and that's not going to change, you know. We're about winning and being competitive, and we're gonna get there. I believe with those two guys and their personality, that's not necessarily just toeing the company line. I think those guys firmly believe it. But I just wanted to get your take. Again, being so close to the team, did you walk away after hearing from those guys thinking the same thing? Like, man, this will be all right. You know, there's still some challenges ahead, but we're in good hands with those two guys at the front.
Yeah, for sure. Those are two guys that you want to kind of be steering the ship. I mean, if you're losing Josiah Jordan James and Santiago Vespi, a couple of fifth-year guys, it's good to be able to hand it over to a guy like Zakai Ziegler, who's kind of been the heart and soul of this thing for the last couple of years. And it's good to kind of hand it over to a Jamai Meshack, who I don't really know where rumors came from about Jamai personally. I never really heard anything about him kind of getting even that close to thinking about going to the portal. Maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe I'm just not talking to the right people. But I just never heard it to the point where you kind of heard it with Tobe might happen. You kind of heard it with Jonas might happen. I never got there with Jamai. But to have those two guys that have been here, that have played the number of minutes they've played for Tennessee basketball under Rick Barnes, they know what it's about. They've been part of the most successful three-year run probably in Tennessee basketball history when you look at win totals and what they've done the last 3 years. It does feel like it's in good hands, and that's a good place to build. Like, you don't want to lose some of the guys you've lost, obviously, because they've been productive, they've been good basketball players. But if you've got Zakai Ziegler, I mean, that's a guy you go to war with every single night. If you've got Jamai Meshack, you know what you're going to get defensively and kind of the tone he's going to set there, and now he's going to step into a bigger role, obviously, with the roster the way it looks right now. So if you're starting with two guys, that's two pretty good guys to start with in terms of culture, in terms of keeping this thing on the tracks and kind of building in the direction they need to build.
Grant, appreciate it all the time, man.
Of course. Anytime, boys. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Thank you, Grant.
Have a good one. Great coverage yesterday. Appreciate Grant Ramey, my favorite beat writer at Tennessee. No disrespect to the RTI guys. I love Shumpert. I love Rick Butler. I don't know Jack that well. We're going to talk to Jack Foster as we kind of talk about the baseball program, and I work on building a relationship with him. No disrespect to those guys, but Grant's my favorite. Does great work for VolQuest on 3. Well, Sam, how do you feel after hearing Grant talk? It almost sounds like you can hear Grant, like, the frustration just covering the team seems to have spilled over too. Just like he said, like, I'm tired from dealing with this.
Yeah, I can kind of feel his pain. You know, I think you can hear it from the media members. You can hear it from the coaches. I think, you know, it's just echoing what the feelings are probably all around the country at this point with how college basketball is, this landscape has turned out. But I mean, you know, it feels like with what he's saying about no schools that he knows of that Tobey's contacted with or like gotten a visit lined up with or anything like that. To me, that feels like positive news that he's kind of just out here lingering around. And you know, I think there's also another side to that too, where he hasn't made any of those visits and he's lingering around and Tennessee still hasn't made a move, so that's just as much of a head scratcher. But to me, I feel I'm starting to feel a little bit better about Tobey coming back.
So you feel better about Tobey coming back?
Kinda.
Okay. Bob?
I don't know what to think about Tobey, to be honest with you, at this point. I really don't. It again, what confounds me is also what we've heard is there's the same person that's handling Jonas and Tobey. So how did this get, I don't know, it's either a hell of a strategic game of chess that person's playing that I can't figure out, or B, it was just really poorly handled all the way around. I don't know. It's so where we are with Tobey, the fact that, you know, there's no schools on the radar, I find that really interesting. And so it's like, then what's the hang up? Why can't we just get this thing settled?
No schools and no visits. No schools leaked and no visits lined up.
Correct.
You know, Grant said, you know, there's some Zooms that have maybe happened in some discussions. So I can't say that they are on the radar, but we don't know who they are. But you're talking about the game of chess. I got to say, noon today is my deadline before I personally have moved on from Tobey Awaka.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, like if we get to noon today, like Tobey is back to square one with me. I'm not going to, like, root against him, obviously, at Tennessee. I'm going to root against him if he goes somewhere else at this point, after the way he's kind of strung us along. I am going to say, like, if he leaves, he's in his villains era, if you will. Shout out to Taylor. But if by noon he's still stringing this along, he's back to square one with me next year. He's going to go from one of my favorites to, you got to prove it. I'm going to be in the start JP Estrella camp at 12:01 today.
Well, then be ready. I was going to say, I don't think it's happening that quick.
Well, that's fine. I am prepared. I'm about to become the biggest JP Estrella fan at 12:01. You got 3 hours and 20 minutes. Well, 3 hours and 19 minutes, I should say. Figure it out.
You should. G.I. Jake's a big JP Estrella fan.
I was just about to say that.
You'll have to find him. You know, hard-nosed kid, plays hard, hustles, coach's son. You know, whatever cliches you have for your white basketball players, he fits them. Culture guy, glue guy, whatever.
Okay, and I'm trying to imagine that in my mind, I am interested to see where he ends up. I want to say Jonas is dead to me, but
Harsh, Bob.
If he shows up at North Carolina or Baylor, it's kind of like, okay, whatever. I kind of get that. If he shows up at Ole Miss,
yeah,
that's going to bother me. Not because it's a big dreaded rival. It's just like, seriously. I mean, I know Chris Beard's there, but it's like, come on, man. That one will bother me, I have to say.
Yeah, Chris Beard is there, but like when I think of Chris Beard, I definitely don't think of him developing big men, especially ones that shoot deep. Like,
yeah.
I think of defense and, like, you know, ugly basketball. Good coach, but like, yeah, it's not like he's got a track record of getting you to the league. Like, at this point, if Jonas went to Arkansas and played for Coach Calipari, now that Kenny Payne is back with Calipari, and he has, you know, a track record of big men and coaching them. Like, at least that maybe makes sense.
I get it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I would
if
get
his
that.
Goal's NBA, but like it still would be a little bit of a tough pill to swallow, just staying in conference. But you know, the Ole Miss one I think would make me more angry than even Arkansas, just because there's no reason to go there.
Yeah,
not a good team. I can't imagine they're really outbidding you too drastically for the player, and again, no track record of NBA success really for Chris Beard's guys that I could think of. But yeah, like Grant, I'm kind of frustrated talking about this too. The energy in the room yesterday was probably really weird in that press conference. And at least I didn't have to like soak that in. So like Grant's going to be more affected by that than I am.
I heard from one listener that the energy in our room was rough in the first hour yesterday, and it was because we were talking about this.
Really?
Yeah. No, remember you were even saying it. You were just like, man, I don't think it was like, God, what was wrong?
Yeah, you know, I know I make jokes sometimes about dying, guys, but I'm okay. I promise.
No, no.
It's fine. Like, it's not the best to talk about the transfer portal, and it is a little frustrating, and I do feel for Rick. Like, I had been saying that for the last, you know, week or so, and like yesterday it all kind of came to a head, and I'm like, yeah, he is taking this pretty rough.
Well, and I think it wasn't just you. I think it was us, you know, and I was talking about what I had heard, and it's like it felt, I don't want to say hopeless, but it's like we want to be able to come on here and talk about, like, hey, man, we got some developing news and it's good. Instead, it was like, no, man, it's more of the same. And as a matter of fact,
it's getting worse.
It may be getting worse, you know. So, yeah, because what the feedback I got was, oh, man, that stuff you guys were talking about grown-ass men and growing up, that was awesome. But, you know, that's where the energy picked up. It wasn't as, you know, the energy wasn't as high in the first hour. And it was like, you know, nobody was saying.
7 a.m., guys, give us a break. We got to work into the first hour.
It's constructive feedback. It's good, man. It's all good. Nobody was saying that sucked. It was just like, you know. It was like, well, that's welcome to our world. That's what we had to talk through.
Next week, Sam, be here at 6:45. We're going to have to go into the John Henderson. You slap me around before the beginning of the show. We'll make sure we got the energy and no more talking sad transfer portal stuff.
Well, that's, you're cutting it off today at noon. It sounds like you're getting there.
12:01. 12:01. He is back to the bench for me. You want starter minutes? I hope you enjoy Rutgers, buddy. I hope you can speak New Jersey. Oh, they got two big transfers. They got two big recruits coming in. It might not be the worst spot, actually.
That would be nice.
Yeah, it might not actually be that big of an insult. Yeah. We'll look at the rest of the college basketball landscape. Got a couple of news and notes there. Stick with us.
Ever been the coach?
The segment's brought to you by Inward Half. Inward Half is elevated and transformed performance-driven apparel into fashion-forward statement pieces for the entire family. I'm going to have my Inward Half on tomorrow. At the Fan Run Open, you could have your Inward Half on in, you know, a week or so. I imagine the turnaround time. I'm not exactly sure how quickly my guys over there are getting it shipped out whenever you order inwardhalf.com. But I would say a week or so. Bob, you ordered over there. How long did it take for you to get your gear?
It was pretty quick. Yeah. It was less than a week. And I was going to say for tomorrow, you going hoodie first? Because it's going to be a little brisk in the morning.
You know, I don't know if I'm going to go hoodie or, I got like a nice, I told you, a nice charcoal baby blue. I could pass it off as a Lady Vols type of setup. I might go with that. I don't know. I haven't fully checked the weather. I don't really like going hoodie over nice collared shirt, though. Like, that's, to me, those don't mix. To me, hoodie is either no shirt underneath or just a t-shirt. So,
yeah,
I got to make that decision.
It's tea time, first tea, probably in the mid-50s. So, Yeah, not cold, but, you know.
That's a little brisk.
Yeah, but
I got to be out there even earlier to help set up and everything. So, I got to be out there around 8 a.m. So, yeah, might be, I'm going with the pullover, though.
Yeah.
Maybe not hoodie, but pullover.
There you go.
So maybe I don't wear the shirt at all. I just wear the pullover.
It's going to be a nice day. Just, you know, it'll warm up a little by the time they get in the thick of the golf.
You can experience the comfort of their signature polos, outerwear, and other accessories that are cleverly designed to keep you in the swing of everyday life by going to inwardhalf.com, where you can look for them in your favorite pro shop. You said you had some other college basketball news and notes for me?
Yeah, just some odds and ends around the country because we're experiencing it firsthand here with Tennessee, but it's happening all around the country. There is a lot going on with players either declaring for the draft, going into the transfer portal, coaching change. You alluded to a little bit earlier. It's not a change, but an addition with Kenny Payne getting right back into the game as associate head coach at Arkansas. But top of the list was I don't think it was a shocker. A few people maybe did, but I think the guy should have stayed. But Reed Sheppard made it official, declared for the NBA drafts, meaning now Kentucky will truly be building entirely from scratch for next season.
You thought that he should have stayed?
Well, from a developmental standpoint, yes. The draft, we know that it's not a great draft, so from a money grab perspective and where he's been projected as somewhere in the range of a lottery pick, I get it. But I'm going to be surprised if he comes in and makes any sort of meaningful impact in the league. I think he still needed to get more minutes. That Oakland game showed me a lot. He there's still growth that needs to happen there.
I guess I've always kind of pushed back on that, like when you talk about developmental, just because I feel like the NBA coaches of whoever drafts them probably going to be a better group of developers versus, like, especially like when you look at Mark Pope, like who hasn't developed any NBA players. So like I understand what you mean, just getting some reps and playing more and like kind of, you know, getting some experience, more experience in college. But it's not like Mark Pope has a long track record of churning out pros. So,
right.
You know, if it's Rick Barnes coaching him, maybe. Like, if it's Calipari coaching him, maybe. If you're just looking at the NBA life. But yeah, with Pope, I don't think you're getting that. And I would rather just be making money and getting in a system and a franchise that wants to, you know, that knows what role I'm going to be in. They're developing me for that role, whether it's like trying to be the next Tyler Hero or whatever. But yeah, it was funny seeing Kentucky fans try to move the goalposts and gaslight and rewrite history as they acted like they never thought that Reed Shepard might actually come back to school.
Agreed.
He's going to get $2 million NIL, and his dad used to be roommates with Mark Pope. He's going to come back. He loves Kentucky. And then that quickly turned into, no, we never thought he was coming back. We never thought that. It's a no-brainer. If you're a top five pick, you got to go.
I still think, if nothing else, he at least spread his announcement far enough away from the big bus tour press conference over the weekend that, you know, because if you recall, on Monday, that all happened on Sunday, and maybe the next day there was a mass exodus of decommits and everything else. So he gave it a little air to breathe.
I kind of agree, but like, if I was a Kentucky fan and I'm thinking about just like timing from a PR perspective, would he not have been better off just announcing it basically right when the whole either right after the season or like when the Calipari stuff happened, just so like the new coach doesn't have, because this isn't necessarily a hit for Mark Pope, but it's another like negative story or another story about the roster, you know, losing a player. If he announced it as soon as Calipari's gone, or even, you know, just even before then, this isn't on Mark Pope's tenure or during his tenure or on his resume.
I think what they were probably most worried about, if I'm the Shepherd family, is Reed has quickly become kind of royalty around the Lexington area,
which is crazy to me. Like, yeah. What the hell are we doing here? I saw Matt Jones say forever a Kentucky legend. What?
Yeah.
What? Like, you guys need to pick a lane. Are you the bluest of bloods? Are you some regal program that's all about championships and you have this legacy and tradition? You're the standard, or are you this scrappy little program that's like, hey, this freshman that's best moment was beating Tennessee. You're forever a legend, bro. You're stamped. Didn't win any SEC tournament games. Didn't win any NCAA tournament games. Not only did you not win in the NCAA tournament, you played maybe the worst game of your career. That was about as embarrassing as a performance as a five-star could have in the tournament. And like Matt Jones, the voice of the fan base, is going to say, forever a Kentucky legend? What? We're really throwing the word legend around pretty loosely there, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that might have influenced the decision, too, is like we, you know, maybe for their allegiance to the fan base, maybe the Shepherds were like, hey, at least let's put on the airs of, hey, we thought long and hard about it, really did. Maybe his mind's been made up for days, but anyway, moving on, a couple quick notes before we hit the top of the hour. Kansas, we talked about this, got another top 10 transfer in AJ Storr. They've got Riley Kugel, Zeke Mayo. I mean, they are definitely loading up for next season, so Bill Self's going to be doing just fine. They're saying that Duke transfer Jeremy Roach is now the focus of Baylor's portal recruiting. So we know Jonas is going over there, but I think Jeremy Roach is priority number one for them.
So they're in the mix for Roach and Adu. I didn't realize Baylor was throwing NIL money around like that.
Apparently so. Roach is fielding 1.5 mil.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
That seems steep.
Yeah.
Sure does.
Yeah.
And then the one thing we really haven't talked about much, but this is regarding Arkansas, is that, you know, reports that Jerry Jones is now sticking his fingers in college basketball. He is an Arkansas alum, and he's gone out and gone on record saying he will double any Kentucky offer to a recruit that they're looking at that Coach Cal would maybe want to have come to Fayetteville. So
to represent what exactly? I thought that's what the name, image, and likeness is supposed to be. Like, we're letting you make some money and make some sponsorship opportunities. Not just I'm going to double your money to come here. Like that seems crazy. That seems crazy. And also, if I'm Sam Pittman, I'm like, Jerry, please, I'm starving. Can I get some water? Sucks. It's like that meme with the little girl drowning in the pool. Like, you know, she's over there barely keeping her head above water. Sam Pittman's career is the skeleton at the bottom of the meme already drowning. Like, can I please get some help over here? Like, the basketball program, cool, I get it. Nolan Richardson, national championship. Jerry, you're supposed to be a football guy. What the hell are you talking about? You'll double any basketball offer. Like, can we get some football players?
They're doing the price match guarantee for him, but they're not letting him.
Not only a price match guarantee. No, a price double. We'll cut the price in half, or we'll double the money. Like, yeah, like. And then, meanwhile, Sam Pittman's dealing with it. Who's this quarterback at Arkansas this year? Can you even name him?
She can't.
Yeah, Sam Pittman's like, I'm out. This is crazy.
I get it. Like, hey, basketball, it's cool. But, like, we still want to be good in football, too, right? Like, in case you haven't noticed, Jerry, we're the worst program in the SEC, kind of. Like, it's us and Mississippi State. Of course, excluding Vanderbilt. Okay. Don't well actually me with Vanderbilt. I don't count them. But, like, of any non-Vanderbilt school, anybody that's not nerds, like, we're looking around like Missouri has blown past us. Can we get some help over here, Jerry? Please? Hour two in the books. We'll kick off hour three with some Tennessee baseball. Jack Foster, Rocky Top Insider. Stick with us.
Who's ready to watch your Southern League champs take the field for a fantastic 2024 season? All season long, your favorite nights are back, like Star Wars, Margaritaville, 4th of July, UT Night, and so much more. And don't forget, awesome daily promotions too, like All You Can Eat Wednesday, Thirsty Thursday, Summer Fireworks Series, and Family Fun Day Sunday. Get your tickets for your favorite night now.